Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today, welcome back, Pastor Butch Paul. And today we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Thursday, May 17th, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon. It's good to be back with you. I hope somebody missed me a little bit.
Well, we did. We did miss you, and you betcha. Welcome back, and I'm going to make you work hard today because
you've
gone for so long.
Well, I can do that. Of course, Chris will work my tail off day in the office, but I can handle for another hour, I reckon.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's been a while, and believe it or not, I miss doing it. I enjoy an hour on the radio and talking to your folks and talking with you. We always have a good time while we cover some serious stuff.
Yes, we do. And I'm going to cover the markets right now. And gold today, it's still holding that 1292 level, although it breaks it every once in a while. It does come back. So gold is up about a buck today, $1,292. Silver was up 7 cents today, $16.53. Platinum is holding at 895, and palladium was down 8 at 984. The USDX today is stronger by 0.12 at 93.44, and crude oil was down 2 cents today at 71.47. Paper markets today, pressure, last hour trade, didn't do much of anything all day, really. The Dow down 54 points, 24,714. The NASDAQ is down 15, 7,382. And the S&P is down to at 2,720. 10-year yield, holy smokes. This is the first time I looked at the 10-year yield today, 3.11%, up 0.45%, and that's the 10-year yield, 3.11%. Pressure on the euro, markets overseas in Asia, basically, you know, unchanged, very little to do. And it's like these markets are in a holding pattern and waiting for something. They're waiting for something, and once in a while we get something, and they still don't react. And so I'm not sure what it's going to take. We all know that it's a lot of computer trading and the algorithms, and you know, they're all set and so forth, but the people still have to input that information. And it is fascinating how they have made these markets to the point where they can certainly withhold, taking all emotion out of trade. So, and that's dangerous.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm amazed that the gold is still coming down somewhat. And I'm thinking, I wish I had enough money to buy a lot of that while it's down, because it's going to go back up. It's just a matter of time. And I wish people could see that. I wish you wouldn't put it off, because they're going one day to think, I wish I bought it when it was 1300 and now it's 1900. I promise you're going to say that, because they said that before. You know, and I don't understand why they put it off. I just don't get it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I get it too. These are, well, you know, Pastor Butch, you know, you've had so many. I know people think, oh, here she goes with the other analysts and the sensationalism and, you know, dates. All of these dates that we've been given, instead of truly talking about the real fundamentals of gold and silver. Why do you buy gold and silver? Why do you convert those worthless paper dollars into gold? That's what would keep people's, it would affect the price. Instead,
sure.
Instead, they talk about, you know, instant returns. They talk about, you know, dates and things falling apart. Those dates don't happen. And the next thing you know, people lose interest. They don't want to buy. Oh, we've been promised that, you know, these things are going to happen and these things are going to happen. And they get a negative taste, particularly new people into the market. They get a negative taste for gold and silver. So, yes,
well,
that's going to have an impact on the markets.
We've all heard the story about the shepherd crying wolf. You know, and that's been going on for years. Everybody's crying wolf, and then nothing happens. And when he really comes about, no one listens to him.
Yes.
It's going to happen that way again. It really and truly is. You know, I just got an article that I want to share, because I thought this isn't funny. It's really kind of sad, but I got to share it, because it's insanity today in our nation, and even in the legal system. I think I know I sent this to you. a Massachusetts judge frees a heroin dealer because he was just trying to make money. This is true. Judge Timothy Feely said Manuel Soto Vattini's heroin dealing doesn't merit prison time because it was basically a money crime. So he didn't have to go to prison. This was ruled on in the Salem Superior Court, and he said this is about a money crime. So he's not a drug addict. He was not dealing to fund his own addiction. He was trying to feed his family. Melody Seedstrom, what has happened to our country?
So does that mean I can go rob a grocery store because I'm feeding my family?
This is what the judge said.
Isn't that kind of the same thing?
It is kind of the same thing. I mean, I can't comprehend that the people can be that totally insane, and they call themselves judges, and somebody gets caught with marijuana. I'm not advocating marijuana. They get caught with an ounce of marijuana, they go to jail for 20 years. Go figure this out. I don't get it.
No, I don't. I always get into there's always heated debates when it comes to legalizing drugs, legalizing marijuana, and I'm against it. And, you know, everyone always brings the reports into the conversation. Well, you know, this was studied, and it actually shows that if you legalize and so forth. Well, where is our moral responsibility, too?
Well, yeah, why not legalize prostitution, too?
You know?
I mean, after all, it's a woman's body, and a man chooses, doesn't he? Same thing as doing legalizing drugs in some areas. Why not? Because it's their body, and, you know, let them do what they want to with it. Not to the fact that it's immoral. You can't go there anymore. Cause, I mean, just because the Bible says something's wrong or society one time accepted being wrong, you can't say it any longer. Because today, anything goes in this society. You know that already, but I won't get into that. I'll start in different directions. But anything goes. There's very little moral compass left in our country.
Yeah.
And the church certainly is not pointing them that way anymore, not even a little bit.
Yeah, it's a very emotional argument, and a lot of people haven't seen the destruction that drugs do to families, what it does to people, and it's not good. There's already reports coming out of Colorado, and I do believe in marijuana for medical purposes. I do believe in that.
Well, there's hemp in the marijuana. There's a big difference.
Yes,
there, you know that.
Yes, there is.
And that's what people need to understand.
But even the reports are now beginning to come out through in Colorado, where marijuana is legalized, where people are, you know, the tardiness is increasing, days off is increasing. People aren't showing up for work on time. People are, you know, calling in sick. People are, and it's noticeable. It's becoming noticeable to where they can actually track it. So these are the elements, and you don't hear anyone talking about that.
No, you don't.
You know,
no, you do not.
And it's very dangerous, very dangerous. But that's another day, another topic. But
well, we'll get into something that I think should concern all of us, because it's biblical and it's going to affect finances. It's going to affect a lot of things when it continues. And it's going to continue. It's going to continue. It's not going to get any better. You know, and the Bible, as I've studied for years, and I'm not calling myself a Bible scholar, but I know a little bit about the scriptures and about prophecy. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3, I'll just read a couple of verses. I want to tie in these articles about this, because it's going to affect us economically big time. See, he said, behold, verse 2, chapter 12 of Zechariah, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. I wonder if that means all people. I mean, you reckon that affects all people, because the Bible says it's all people? Obviously, that's true. Well, now we do know that Trump has made Jerusalem the capital of Israel. And on that day, Israel did tell their authorities to start preparing bomb shelters. They also rocketed Syria on the same day. Now, in this town, this is what happened. Believe what you want to believe. I don't really care. When he said that, this is what happened. And of course, whenever Ivanka went over there and made the speech, the 55 of the, oh my gosh, mine's going blank, and on the Gaza Strip were killed, 2,000 wounded. just when the MSC opened, this already happened. So we're seeing a lot of things here starting to heat up in this area. It's prophesied because the Bible says it'll be a burdensome stone for all people. That means it affects the whole earth. So when you think about this, when there were 55 people were killed on that day and 2,000 wounded that we know of, Melly, that's your concern, is because in the Middle East has been a powder keg for how long, and how many men have we lost over there already fighting wars for oil and for Israel to control us and tell us what to do? I mean, when will we learn? And you mentioned today, I mentioned that Trump fulfilled a prophecy. You wonder if you knew it or not. And you mentioned his son-in-law, and I got to think about that later on. You're probably right. His son-in-law, if he believes the Old Testament, Zechariah is the Old Testament, of course, may have knew this prophecy. I don't know. But it's costing lives already. The Palestinians have already lost 55 killed and 2,000 wounded in this recent article. It's not going to get any better. Now, I don't want to scare people about that. And it may calm down for a while. But it's going to blow up because the Bible says it is. So what do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think it's like anything else, is we're on this path. And there isn't any detours. Or maybe we will find a detour. But we're on this path. And it's not a path to... I always try to be positive. But it's just like our monetary policy. How do we stop the spending? How do we stop the corruption? How do we stop? We can't. It's not going to change. The swamp is not going to be drained. I'm sorry. And attempts might be made, but it's not going to happen. And it's kind of like in the Middle East. You know, the old saying, peace in the Middle... There'll never be peace in the Middle East.
Not till Christ returns, it's not going to be. No.
No. And so we're on this path. Things quiet down, then they get heated up. Things quiet down, then they get heated up. And so this is the future. This is what we face in our lives, our children's lives, the grandchildren. I mean, this is the path that we're on. And, you know, we can understand what's coming our way.
Well, let me ask you a question.
But how do things get better?
They're not going to until Christ returns. There was a time when America could have turned around. She had time. She had many warnings. She had plenty of time to turn around, but she didn't. She didn't pay heed. The people didn't pay heed. I started teaching the last time I had church. It's been a couple Saturdays ago. I'll be continuing this coming Saturday. Teaching, by the way, Mel, you can watch online if you want. If you just go to PastorBush.com and find out on the homepage. Live stream, watch the slide while I teach it. You can call and ask questions if you want to. But I started teaching entitled The Christian, Self-Defense, and War. And I had to set up a foundation to get the point I want to make when I'm finished. And I started teaching about America and how she was lured, just like in a battle when Greece attacked Troy. And they pretended they left. But they left behind a big wooden horse, which happened to be the national symbol for the city of Troy. And let one man behind and say, you know, okay, we lost, we're leaving, here's a token of our respect for you. And the people were so ignorant, they brought that horse inside the city. True story, you know about the story. And it was filled with enough men to open the gates, and the army come back. Well, we did the same thing a long time ago, for example, with Roosevelt when he started Social Security. The church walls were strong, the nation's walls were strong, they didn't believe in trust in government, trust in man. But they brought in a little Trojan horse, if you will, to offer something to give us, you know, a little peace and rest. And what did it cost the Cincinnati, Melody?
You tell us.
Yeah. Well, what's it cost us? Everything. It's cost our liberty, our freedom. Yeah. It's cost us our sovereignty as a nation. It's put us in debt beyond a point of no return. And the Lord God told us in Proverbs, I think it's 12. He said, now I may be wrong on this in 12. But anyway, he said, if you sit down to eat at the king's table, if the king offers you things, the government offers you things, it's better to cut your throat than take them. But we didn't listen. So now I'm trying to do a teaching out of show. Now that our nation's finished, to defend this nation is no longer possible. We're going to discuss defending ourselves and our families, but it's no longer possible for the nation. And people don't want to hear that. I can't help it. It's Bible. I'm going to prove it. I'm going to try to finish up teaching this week. I can prove it scripturally. This nation's over. It's finished. It's done. But I'm telling people that because they need to prepare for what's coming. It is not going to get any better financially. I wish I could tell everybody, hey, the dollar is going to rise again. They're going to start back with something of value. We're going to see a big drop in inflation. Wages are going to go up, but I can't see it. Matter of fact, an article here says gasoline, by the way, in California is already well over $4 a gallon, Melody. I got a picture of a station for regular gas is $4.59, $4.60 a gallon. Now, think about that. But it says this will eat up all the middle-class tax breaks that the middle class supposedly got under Trump's tax break. It'll eat up all their money they got back, plus more. And $4.60 a gallon is a lot of money to put in a gallon of gasoline that comes out of your pocket, and you got to have it. So it eats up anything that may come good out of the taxes for individuals. Now, people need to understand this. It's just not going to turn around. Trump can, even if Trump were sincere about this, he's not going to change this economy. It's not going to happen. Can't happen.
No. I mean, even with the tax, as I said this before in the program, the repatriation of those trillions of dollars, where's that money? It ain't coming back to the States. You had a hand few that probably made promises and bargains to Trump, and you get these tax reforms done, we'll repatriate the money, and where's it at? They might be holding it off for when the markets drop, then they'll bring it in to hold the markets, it'll be their little quantitative easing to keep the markets strong. But so far very little has come back. What has come back hasn't trickled down. Maybe a third of it has trickled down, if any at all. And certainly the $1,000 bonuses, is that what you consider trickle down? A one-time $1,000 bonus?
And gas doubles in price. How long does that last you, $1,000 bonus? I know that one of the discount places about an hour north of me, a little place called Flatwoods, West Virginia, always has gas in nearly 15, 20 cents cheaper than it is where I am. Well, I went up this past Thursday, pick up my son from Colorado. It was about 15 cents cheaper than it was here. Well, back up again yesterday, Tuesday, taking back, it went up to, it was about 10 cents cheaper. When I come back down from Pittsburgh just a few hours later, it was 3 cents higher than ours. Now, think about that. In just about less than a week's time, it went up 23 cents. Melly, that's, let's say, a quarter. That's a lot of money for gas to go up basically in 2 or 3 days.
It is. And, and I say this all the time, and I don't mean to repeat myself. To a lot of people, 25 cents, what's the big deal? But it is a big deal. It's a lot of money when you add it together. We talked about this yesterday, $4.4 billion in the month of April. It cost consumers extra because of the gasoline. $4.4 billion 1 month.
Wow.
That's a lot of money. Multiply that times 12 and multiply that, when it gets higher and higher. So we'll have to do the multiplication during the break because we're going into a break. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Financial survival. And going into the break, we were talking about the 25-cent increase in gasoline, and with where Pastor Butch was gathering his gasoline, and of course the $4.4 billion for the month of April for the consumers across this country that it cost them for the higher prices in gasoline. And I don't expect we would see, we're not going to see lower prices in gasoline, you know, the 20, you know, that temporary $20 or 20 cent that we saw. Anyway.
Well,
I just know
that we were, that's all right. I know that we've all been there, and I have been many times in the past whenever a couple of dollars really meant something for us in our budget, buying groceries. I remember those days very well. I couldn't even afford new tires on a car. When I bought tires, they were called recaps. They were $10 a piece.
Yep.
They've done pretty good.
Yeah, they've done okay.
But I've had four flat tires in like a week because I couldn't afford new tires. And people say, well, that's silly. No, it's not silly. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it. But so when a couple of $3 adds up after a while, if you're paying in gas and you do it 3-4 times a week trying to put gas in a car, you're talking about a substantial amount of money. I had a phone call from a listener today. His name is Bob, and he's living in his truck. He can't afford his oxygen anymore, so he's kind of a hard time breathing. But he's living in his truck because he can't afford a place to live. Now, he's a good man. He said, Pastor said, I've always wanted. I said, I want to work for Christ so badly, but physically I'm not able to get what I used to. He said, I really feel bad about that. I said, Bob, don't you feel bad? Your heart's in the right place. You can do what you can do. But he's living in a pickup truck because of finances. And I know it's hard for us to grasp that, at least for me, because I've never had to sleep in a pickup truck unless I wanted to. I've always had a bed to sleep in and food on my table. So this is not a pleasant thing to face, but more people that even this area here, they're not necessarily starving, but I know they're really hitting some tight financial spots. I know that because I talk to them. It's just the way it is.
And I mean, I think throughout there's always been tough times for people, but here we're supposed to be the richest nation in the world, mm-hmm. and that's mm-hmm. where, you know, you have the difficulties, and it all comes back to, you can see the history. Yeah, I'm going to bring it back to finances. I'm going to bring it back to the dollar. I'm going to bring it back to not having a currency backed by gold, and you know how we've seen it, how it gets harder and harder for people to make ends meet. We shouldn't have people to where we don't have affordable housing in this country.
The Christ said, the poor you have with you always. But those are people, a lot of people that don't care about. My grandma used to say, poor is as poor does. There was a time whenever people that wanted to work could work, but they're too lazy to work. That's a different ballgame. But somebody's trying to make it, and they're really trying to make it, whenever the inflation eats up what they are making, that is a whole different story.
Yes, it is.
And I'm sure you heard that the EU is going to ditch a dollar. You heard that, didn't you?
I didn't hear that.
Who reported that? That was reported by Tyler Durden, authored by Max Slavo with SHTFplan.com. But anyway, they're ditching the dollar. They're going to use it. They're going to use EU to buy oil, Iranian oil. It said just one more nail in the U.S. dollar's coffin. Its collapse is all but imminent at this point. The EU has successfully found a way to scoff at potential future sanctions, this and that, on Iran by openly defying the U.S. as an added bonus. They've helped seal the dollar's fate. According to RT, a diplomatic source with EU has told a news outlet of the decision. So European Union is planning to switch its payments to the euro for oil purchases in Iran to get around the U.S. sanctions. And here we go. Another nail, as this article says, in the U.S. dollar's coffin.
Well, you know, it's true.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's true. You had Iran selling their oil in euros for a long time. I mean, this was, you know, you go back in during the Great Recession. I can't remember the exact date, but they were beginning to sell their their oil in other currencies. And I do know that deal, which is a good point. You know, the Europe wants to continue with the deal with Iran. But I'm not. I'm not quite sure how much oil Europe gets from Iran. I thought they got most of their fuel from Russia.
Well,
but
it's so.
I'm not sure what it is a trend, and there isn't anything the United States can do. I mean, you can even say that the reason they initially made this deal with Iran was because they were, you know, not selling their oil in the dollars. We know what happens to countries when they don't sell their oil in U.S. dollars, and Iran was just one of a few others. You know, we saw what happened to Iraq. We saw what happened to Gaddafi. We see what happens. Look what's happening to a lot of other countries. Some are too big, like China, to address the issue. But that's a pretty good point. But it's a trend.
It is a trend. And what if Iran now is going to back out on the deal to, Trump backed out, would they start really manufacturing weapons again, nuclear weapons? Or I'm sure they already are, but I just wonder would they start again openly doing it? I'm just curious about that because this is all going to tie together. Whenever the dollar loses its influence in the world, the United States becomes weaker, does it not?
It does.
So we're seeing our negotiating power drop every day. When the dollar becomes weaker, then that means that we have less to negotiate with. We no longer have the power of finances over nations. And for a long time, Ellie, that's all the U.S. has had over nations, the dollar. And they've sold our debt to countries that were willing to buy it because it kept the economy afloat worldwide. Well, nations like China and now the EU and others are saying, we don't care. Take the dollar and stick it. We don't want it any longer. And they're doing away with it. So this is going to add up eventually. It's going to cause something to happen here on the home front.
Well, I think that absolutely, and I think this is what we're experiencing and seeing with these countries. You know, they're all trying to get a piece of their pie of this globalization of trade, and we certainly have seen, and those who have. You know, the countries who are in the best, of course, none of them are in great financial condition, but those who have, or better, will have the better opportunities to make these agreements directly or indirectly. And, I mean, I'm seeing things that, and I hear people talk about, who would ever thought that, you know, these things would be going on in our lifetime? I mean, they truly are amazing when you see these countries, and none of these countries are meant to be trusted. I mean, they'd all sell their grandmothers for, you know, if it would benefit them. They're all corrupt. They're all corrupt.
Name me a country with no
corruption.
Well, there are none, and we're one of the worst, and that's a fact. I can prove that biblically and historically. We're one of the worst nations on the face of the earth, probably one of the worst right now. But the when the dollar was still backed by silver up to 1964, nations traded with it because it was backed by something of worth and value. When that was taken away, of course, then we quit backing with gold under the Nixon administration, period, went to oil backing, and that started doing a lot of things to the economy then. But they was able to kind of hold off the collapse and for a long time. But it doesn't collapse overnight. People don't understand this. Why is the dollar still here? It is here, but it's worth less than it was yesterday. I can't explain that. I mean, it's dropped 1,000% since 1969, but it's still worth something in people's hands. $100 back in 1969 is worth $1,000 today. That's a big drop, Melody. Is it
yes,
not?
It is. And they disguised it.
They did. And people still think, well, the dollar's still here. It is here. But every day you use it, it's worth less and less and less. And eventually, it has to come to nothing of value at all. Whenever inflation hits a point like it did in Venezuela and other places, 3,000, 4,000%, and it happened in Germany, World War II. What's going to happen when the people take the dollar to the store and it doesn't buy a loaf of bread? What are they going to do?
Well, there won't be any bread in the stores anyway to buy. So, you know, because we'll see that you know, again, we're back to the, what is it, 3 days of inventory in grocery stores of food. So that'll disappear very quickly. But I mean, this is where your social unrest, this is when bellies get hungry. And this is when people react. This is when, you know, people want to know why, and they're going to take it out on those who they think did this to them. And if they can't find them, then they're going to take it out on the guy standing next to them. It's going to be nasty. There was an article written, I can't remember, there's going to be blood in the streets. And people say, well, not here in the United States. Who's going to go hungry in the United States? We have so many charities and this and that. Well, you know what? They just can't see the future.
No.
And
For years, I've been urging them to get a water filter. We have to break your water filters. Get you something that will give you pure water. If the water's shut off, power grid is off, you can go down to the local creek or pond and get water and have pure water. Put back a couple cans of storable food, you know, to last for a little while. Well, it doesn't cost that much, for goodness sake. And if you don't need it in 10 years, eat it anyway. There's nothing lost, you know, and it's going to cost more than 10 years it does now anyway, so enjoy it. This is common sense. But something happened to common sense.
Yes, it has.
And this article here, you might... Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what's next? Are we going to move on to something?
I got to share this. Well, we all know Illinois is in a bad shape, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This article says, an audible gasp went out in the breakout room I was in last month's pension event co-sponsored by the Civic Federation and the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. That was when a speaker from the Chicago Fed proposed living across the state, and in addition to current property taxes, a special property assessment they estimate would be about 1% of actual property value each year for 30 years. Now, Melly, did I read this right? Would that be 30% at the end of the year? 1% per year? Is that what is that? That's what I read, right?
I from what I followed, yes.
Yes, they said they would put a special property assessment. They estimate that would be about 1% of actual property value each year for 30 years. That's 30%. That's what it works up to. Evidently, that wasn't reality shock enough. This week, the Chicago Fed published that proposal formally, and it is a link to the proposal. It surely ranks among the most blatantly inhumane and foolish ideas we've seen yet. Homeowners with houses worth $250,000 would pay an additional $2,500 per year in property taxes. Those with homes $500,000 pay an extra $5,000. And those with homes in a million pay an extra $10,000. Now that's 1%. Multiply that 1% more every year. You ever heard the old story about taking a penny and double it every day?
Mm-hmm.
You've heard that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
And the Chicago Fed, is the Chicago Fed blind to human consequences? Confiscatory property taxes rates have already robbed hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, of Illinois families of their home equity, probably the lion's share of whatever wealth they had. Property taxes in many Illinois communities already exceed 3 to 4 to even 5%. Across Illinois, the average is 2.67%, the highest in the nation. But now they want to put up 1% per year for the next 30 years? People can't soak that up. I couldn't do that, could you?
No.
Let's say your house is worth $80,000. Well, that's $800. Doesn't sound like a lot. But multiply times 30%. Multiply 10 years from now. That'd be $8,000. Melly, I don't know, but that's absolutely absurd. I mean, that is insane. And that's what this article says. It's insane. People can't absorb that.
You know, anybody who thinks that their taxes are ever going to go down, or really, taxes will never, ever go down. They can't go down. They won't go down. And property taxes is my pet peeve. You know, it just, you know, whenever the city needs some money, you know, whenever the state needs some money, oh, we'll get it out of the property owners. I mean, it's like their open bank account.
And you,
you
never
hey,
own
teachers
your property.
Wanna teachers want to raise. Hey, we'll increase the property taxes.
There you go.
We want to build some. Hey, let's increase the property taxes. Hey, we want to. It's and And no one argues. No one. You know, if you go to the council meetings, if you go to your local meetings, and if you bring this up, they tag you as a lunatic. They tag you as, you know, someone who's crazy.
You're a dissident.
This is not crazy talk. It's like, no, my talk isn't crazy. What's crazy is you using people's property as a bank account.
Well,
that's
when
what's
the,
crazy.
When the taxes are worth more than the homes eventually.
Yeah.
Why would you want a home? How would you stay in a home? And I'm amazed. I guess people live in Illinois like everybody else. So they were born and reared in Illinois. They got a job there and family. They didn't want to leave. But don't you think this might force some people out of the state?
Why wouldn't it?
And of course, until the next state next door figures out how to do the same thing, the next state does the same thing, then where do you go then? But in reality, we all know that you never, ever, ever, ever own what you think you own. Your home, your land, your automobile, nothing is ever owned. You rent it from the state. You pay a fee every year to keep these things. If you don't, they will take them and auction them off, your property and your home, and sell it to the bidder to get their taxes out of it. Your automobile cannot be driven unless you put tags on it, stickers on it, put insurance on it. So that's another contract you were forced into. So you really don't have an automobile to travel the highways in, except by the state's permission if you pay them the right amount of money. Now, that's just the way it is. People, get over it. We're slaves in this country that our forefathers set for us. Nehemiah chapter 4 explains that very well. I'm sorry, Nehemiah chapter 9 explains that very well. We're slaves in a nation that our founding fathers set for us to be free in. And we were warned that when the banks took over the country, this is what happened. And Melody, it's happened, it's happened, it's happened. And we're getting further and further into this every day.
So I don't know why people expect a different outcome.
It's insanity.
It is.
It's insanity. It's hoping against hope.
And you know what? You try to be optimistic, but being, as I said this earlier in this week, being optimistic is preparing for yourself.
Yes.
Is being independent. That's where you get your freedom. That's where you, and I get, you know, hey, I would love to be able to, you know, go find a cabin up on, you know, some mountain and stay there and, you know, forget the world, but I can't. You know, I have to make a living. I have to, you know, do certain things and whatnot, and I can't do that.
Most people can, Melody. Most, especially the responsibilities that we have. You know, I mean, as a minister myself, I can't do that. I can't do it. It's impossible.
But what I can do is prepare.
Yes, yes.
And we're going to prepare, and we're prepared to go into a break right now. Did you know that? And we'll be back just after a few short minutes. Please stay tuned.
Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is...
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Please sign up for the weekly newsletter. And, of course, we do post the archives of these programs. So you can always, if you miss one, you can always get caught up by going to the archives. And they're there. The dates are just listed. The topics, this is a financial program. So pretty much all the programs are financial. So we don't tag name them or anything like that, title them. They're just financial survival programs. But make sure you get there and sign up for the newsletter, as I had already said, and 1-800-375-4188. The Mint State 62 $10 Liberty, it was a very successful special. Many of you picked up, we sold quite a few of those, but it is a great, great buy at $700. And if you purchased two or more, it was free shipping. It was Mint State. I'm going to carry this as long as I can. Mint State 62 $10 Liberty gold piece. These are pre-1933 coins, and you get your performance, your privacy, and your protection with these coins. At any time they dip or they're sold at the same price as their larger counterpart with this equal amount of gold, the $20 gold pieces, is the time to buy this particular coin, because they always sell for more. Any fractional piece usually will sell for a higher price than their bigger counterpart. So 1-800-375-4188. And I was locking in some prices on these Mint State 62 $10 Liberty gold pieces with a client, and I got a news flash after we had hung up. I got a news flash that my buyer had purchased some Mint State 63 $10 Liberty gold pieces. And usually there the prices, there's a big spread between 72s and between Mint State 62s and Mint State 63s. And there's only a $45 difference. So if anybody wants to purchase, and there was only a limited amount. We only had like 70 of them in available. So I'm not sure if any is available. But if you're interested, call me and I'll double check to see if I can get that for you for Mint State 63 $10 Liberty gold pieces for $745. Now, you can't change out your orders that you bought for $700, but if you would like to add some Mint State 63 $10 Liberties, give us a call, 800-375-4188.
Oh, I tell you, that's a fantastic deal on that. It really is.
It truly is, and I get excited when they, you know, because they do. There's such big spreads sometimes, you know, on these fractional pieces. And premiums are at 20-year lows. I mean, how can you go wrong?
You can't.
You absolutely can't.
One thing about it for sure, gold and silver coins will never go to zero.
No.
They won't.
No,
dollar will. But this whole gold and silver never will. You know, we're talking about, of course, finances, and we're talking about the taxes on houses in Illinois. My son lives in Colorado Springs. He wouldn't come visit this past week.
Oh, hold on, Pastor Butch.
Yes, I'm here.
Can
you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you, but Todd said that we had a caller.
Okay.
But I don't know who the caller is. Oh, okay. We have Ivan calling us. Good afternoon, Ivan.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm at the end, Pastor Butch.
Hello, Ivan.
Hopefully you are doing well.
Doing very well.
I want to follow up on a question we talked a couple of weeks ago about Jerusalem. The Western Wall, which is being considered as a holy place or a holy part of a holy place, it's not. It it is not part of the temple, as far as my studies show. Okay, I studied both history and also as far as religious articles. So, what is your thought about the Western Wall being? I guess they think it's part of the temple, original temple.
You asking me, I guess, right?
Yes.
Well, you know, I've never considered that a lot, but I do know that's been considered part of their holy ground. Gosh, since about Christ time, I would say. And it's not part of the temple. It actually isn't, but it's considered part of the temple mound, their temple placement, and that's why they consider it a part of the holy places in Jerusalem. It's not really a part of the temple, so to speak, but it's been there since the temple was built. So that's I think it's the reason why they consider it part of the holy ground there.
Okay, but yeah, my study showed that the Western Wall was part of the Roman legion's Fort Antonia.
Which was
Which was located in Jerusalem, and then in between was Herod's palace, and then on the other side was a temple. As far as I,
the Jews think it's all considered all part of their holy place now, because the Romans come in, of course, and conquered Jerusalem, and destroyed a lot of what they had. So they just reclaimed it back with this part of it. As far as what I can gather. I don't know whether how they feel about it or not, but from what I can gather, what you're saying is accurate, is absolutely accurate. So I don't know, but I do know that they consider this a place they're willing to fight over, obviously, and so do the Palestinians. So we'll see. Time will tell.
Yeah, because otherwise it would go against Christ's prophecy that not a stone upon stone will be left. When he was going to Golgotha, he met the women who were crying, and they said, "Don't cry over me, but cry over the temple." You know, because not a stone upon stone will be left. So,
that was destroyed. Temple destroyed under Titus. You know, Titus, when he invaded Jerusalem, he destroyed it. They tore the whole thing apart, getting the gold in between the layers of stones and everything they could find. When the stone left on top of his stone on the temple itself.
That's right. Even all the way down to the ground level. Underground.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I just want to confirm, because I see a lot of people talk. You know, we talk some of these subjects, and you know. And I thought that the Jews were thinking that it was part of the temple itself. But like you say, it is a part of the temple mound.
Yes.
But the Roman fortress of Antonia was there, and also there was a temple, or not a temple, but whatever you call it. Yeah, well, let's say temple for the Roman gods, you know, where presently is the Rock of the Muslim Golden Dome.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Where the Roman legions temple was located, their gods, you know, it wasn't...
It's a big mess over there, you know that.
I know.
Well, good call, Ivan. Good call, thank you.
Yeah, I have one question for Melody.
Yes?
Yes, how come the gold is going down? I mean,
let me get my crystal ball out.
Well, come on, you are the expert.
Yes, I am.
But expert.
Yeah, and you know what? Sometimes there isn't an answer except other than you know, that we have a stronger dollar. The president's Larry Kudlow, we know he's a strong dollar advocate. He wants a strong dollar. But it's not going to last because gold will take its position because of all the other things that are going on in this country. We're seeing these higher rates rise. Gold has had some of its biggest increases in price during huge rate increases. So, you know, gold is going to do what it's supposed to do. But with a stronger dollar, it's getting these reactions. I haven't followed the volume in the markets, but I think volume is very light. We're going to be heading into a holiday weekend. You have basically Hawaii that's just exploding and no one's talking about it. You have a lot of distractions. People are just so distracted with what's going on in D.C., you know, with all these investigations and Mueller, and, you know, it's, you know, people are glued.
And Trump had more girlfriends, I guess. They found that. So more payoffs. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
So why is gold going down? Yeah. 1,300 was a very big psychological number. And it did it. Manipulation, you know, you can, you know, go through the list that I just called you, but the fundamentals for gold are still there, and they will go. It is going to do extremely well.
But I thought that it was the gold set pricing was done in London prior to this, or is it still being done in London?
No, they've changed that.
They changed that
quite a few years ago, yeah. In fact, it was Deutsche Bank who was the one that pulled out, and, I mean, they were even accused, and I believe they were fined for manipulating the price of gold. And when they pulled out, because you had a set number of members that would sit around the table in the morning and then in the afternoon, twice a day, they'd set the price of gold. And you know, then it went to various exchanges now. Do that price.
Okay.
AMA,
well,
so
I do appreciate your crystal ball. It's working.
And
thanks, Pastor Butch, for
you're welcome.
Defining that what I was thinking is correct. You know.
Well, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Have a nice weekend and enjoy the. Well, we have some rainy weather here, so okay, so long.
Alrighty, thank you, Ivan.
You're welcome. Bye bye.
You know, you mentioned rainy weather. We didn't have any rain until last night. I mean, it's been raining north of us really hard. We had up in the 90s and no rain, but it started raining here and cooled things off. Actually, feels pretty good.
We've had rain every day since Sunday, and
we just got sun yesterday, finally.
The weekend.
You know, we got time maybe one more story here, but I want to get your opinion on this. My son is a man. I went to Peninsula, lives in Colorado Springs, and right now the housing market there is just absolutely insane. They sold their home. They put it up for sale, mailed it, and sold it in one day. So they had to buy another one. They just bought one last week, and it was in the process, of course, moving out. But the housing market is booming out there, but I'm just reading that... the mortgage refi applications are a 10-year low because of the hike in rates. I said this, the Treasury yield is broke out and is high since 2011, but the mortgage rates went up for refi. Would that affect first-time buyers too, you think?
Absolutely, it would. I mean, you can have these rates, and it can make a big difference. And so, you know, they're going to have perhaps buy a less home, you know, instead of going for a $300,000 home, they might have to go to a $250,000 home. So it's going to limit their selections of homes that they buy. And, you know, people aren't used to paying higher rates for housing. You know, everybody says, I remember paying 13%, 12% for a mortgage. Would I pay that today? No. And would I pay, you know, 5%? No. You know, so you get used to this low money, this free money, and it's not free, but these low rates, and it will have an impact as they rise. And you have to, wages are not increasing.
No, they're not.
So if wages don't increase, how could everything else increase? and still sustain a great economy. It can't.
Well, you remember the 70s, of course, and 80s when rates were really up there. You remember that, I'm sure.
Yes, I do.
You know, and people bought because they had, I guess, no choice but to buy. One just
yeah, but our
homes,
our dollars bought more in those days,
it
too.
It did. It did. I mean, it really and truly did. I got married
That's
in 1971.
Yeah.
Got married in 1971. Marsh and I could live well on $10 a week for groceries. Today, it's $100. The same value. Now, think about that a minute. But, it did well. But even car rates were much higher then and lower now. But that's just because the Fed is trying to keep people moving and buying. They had to lower the rates because inflation's eat up the dollar. So they have to lower the rates so people can still afford to buy. And now some companies, car dealers, are giving no interest rates for 6 years or whatever. So they keep on buying. It's all a game. And so far, it's worked. But it will end.
It will end. And, as we see technology replace people with jobs, I mean, it's all coming apart. There was an article where Jeff Bezos says that in 10 years, everybody's going to be working for Amazon. I don't even know if it was 10 years. In a few short years, everyone is going to be working for Amazon. And when you really think about it, I was talking to the post office today because people were bringing in packages to return things that they bought from, and he was explaining to me the process and how it goes to Amazon and how they have to separate it. And it really was kind of interesting.
Wow.
But that eliminates people. Yeah, we are. We are. So we'll be back tomorrow. Dave Allen will be here with me tomorrow. And Pastor Butch, welcome back. It was great to have you here. I missed
Good to be with you.
And
now,
we'll see you on Tuesday. Until
All
then,
right,
ladies
have
and
a great
gentlemen,
way.
Have a great evening, good night, and God bless.
That's too bad.